A sharp rise in earnings from Liberty's shareholder investment portfolio has partly boosted the group's interim profit. The company's delivered a 51% surge in normalized headline earnings per share. But despite the rise in earnings, the company's decided to keep its interim dividend unchanged at just over 2 Rand. CEO David Munro joins me on the line now. Thanks so much, David, for your time this evening. So, as I say, you've seen a 51% surge in pre-tax profit in the 6 months to the end of June. Normalized headline earnings up by the same margin. What's been driving the momentum behind your earnings over this period, and how much of a low base effect is there to consider?
Yes, good evening, Elisa, and thank you for having me on the show. You know, our earnings that contribute to that 51% increase are made up of two parts. The most critical part for us are the earnings that we generate out of our operations. They were up 14%, generating about R1 billion of earnings. And that's where you can see the outcome of the work we do to run our business and to deliver against the needs of our clients. So we're happy with that number at 13.9%. It's a good result in the current market conditions. It really has been the result of our shareholder investment portfolio, as you described it, which generated nearly R900 million of earnings. Those two combined is actually what generated the 51% increase in normalized headline earnings. Yes, there is some level of low base. But we also do feel that this is a good indication that we are making progress in delivering against the potential of our business and unlocking value.
So, David, where you talk about leveraging off a sharp rise in earnings from the shareholder investment portfolio, as, of course, equities rebounded over the period, with markets in a bit of a state of flux at the moment, given trade negotiations between the U.S. and China, Brexit negotiations, ongoing slowing global growth, South Africa's domestic pressures that are at play as well. How at risk is sustainability there, or are you banking on stimulus programs and low interest rates globally to provide buffer enough?
Yeah, you know, this we have to look at the shareholder investment portfolio as a long-run, long-term portfolio that we don't adjust over time. We look at the returns over a long period of time. It's essentially run as a balanced portfolio, so it has exposure to local equities, to developed market equities, to currency, and to bonds. So it's balanced in that sense. And yes, absolutely, it's at, it is at risk of the market variability in markets. But we're not trying to generate short-term value out of it. It's really looking at it over a very long period of time and making sure that the funds that our shareholders have provided to us, that that's the capital that we need to run our business, is invested sensibly to make sure that it generates a return over a long period of time.
So with that strategy in play then, you're making progress in achieving your medium-term financial targets. How far off from hitting those targets are you?
Yeah, you know, we set out in March last year 4 targets that we thought would indicate good progress in really turning around our business and putting it on a sustainable and competitive path. Actually, in this first half of 2019, we managed to achieve 3 of those targets. We generated a return on equity of 17.7%. That's an annualized return on equity. Of course, these are half-year numbers, so one has to just be very cautious about a statistic like that. Likewise, return on GEV, 14%. It exceeds the 12% target that we had set ourselves. And our capital ratios remain robust. All of those are green and in the target range. It's only margin on new business, which is just below the target range that we set for ourselves. The margin on new business target range is 1 to 1.5%, and we're currently sitting at 0.9%, up from 0.7% this time last year. So good work there, but not necessarily yet in the range.
Okay, so what's going to be providing you then with the next tailwind? Because looking domestically, the economy is expected to remain subdued. So how do you create sustainable, longer-term value amidst it all, especially where, you know, your focus is on driving South African retail performance and a value of new business growth specifically?
No, exactly. And, you know, this goes to the heart of the work that we're doing. You know, these numbers represent just a half year of performance. What we're really doing is making sure that we are very focused on improving the experience of our customers and the financial advisors that are the lifeblood of this organization. We've launched several new products during the first half of this year, an innovative investment product, a wellness bonus that connects to our Liberty Lifestyle Protector. We've rejuvenated the solution that we provide to corporates to support them in their pension funds. And likewise, we've delivered new digital technology to our advisors to make them more competitive. So this is really a game of being competitive and truly in tune with the needs of our customers.
Along with that innovation that you're employing has come a bit of a challenge. Discovery accusing Liberty of using its incentive program without permission, with Liberty having launched its wellness bonus, which cuts premiums, of course, for clients who are using a program like Vitality. Is there any merit in the argument they've presented?
Well, as I said this morning, Alicia, we will vigorously defend this matter. We think it highlights two really critical points. The first is that we think that we've got a competitor that's trying to limit competition in our market, and therefore it's important for us to defend this. And secondly, much more importantly, this goes to the question of whose data is it anyway? This is really about understanding that clients own their data, not the companies. And therefore clients should be given the opportunity to secure the benefit that they can from their data, where they can secure that benefit and have the freedom to make those choices themselves. Those are the core principles at stake here.
Nevertheless, Discovery is asking the Johannesburg High Court to block Liberty from using its Vitality program. Hypothetically speaking, if it wins, how much of a blow would it deal you?
Well, that's hypothetical, so it's really difficult to answer that question. We've submitted court papers to defend this, and as I said, we will defend it vigorously. There's two allegations that they've made in the court papers, one on the infringement of trademarks and the second of something called unlawful competition. And our court papers vigorously defend those points. So at this point, I think it would be hypothetical to think about what the consequences of the judgment
are. Okay, so we watch to see how that all unfolds. What's made headlines is the fact that despite your profit surge, David, you've kept your interim dividend unchanged. Talk us through the rationale there.
Yeah, look, our dividend policy is very clear. We generally, well, we do... our interim dividend is 40% of our prior year's actual dividend, unless there are circumstances that would prevent us from paying that dividend. So really, that's a mechanical exercise. We are really then focused on the second half of this year, making sure that we continue to deliver these kinds of results, and then we can look at the full year dividend and make the adjustment that we think is right, given the performance of the business.
Let's leave it there. David, a pleasure chatting to you this evening. Thanks so much for your time. That, of course, the CEO of Liberty, David Munro.